You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Another Saturday is here already, 9:06. Good morning. It's Ken Connors along with Walter Assey, who's on the phone on remote from Renovco. Walter, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very, very good. Can we disclose your location, or are we protecting your security here?
You can definitely disclose my location. I'm looking at something very white right now, but it's not snow, it's sand. So I'm in Miami.
I think we're about to lose the connection, Walter.
Yes, indeed. I wonder why.
out of anger and spite. Listen,
I chose the right week.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Well, good for you. Good for you. I know you you work hard at your job, and to get a little rest is. And I know you. You got your phone with you, so you're probably doing a little. It's business and pleasure, right?
It's business and pleasure, and I'm celebrating Cassandra's birthday. So. It's a combination of many things together, I guess.
Very nice. Multitasking, as always. 514-790-0800. You have a question for Walter? He's here to answer your question for the full hour. Again, 514-790-0800. Walter, we're going to start off with one from the text line, if you don't mind. It's from Barbara out in Hudson. She wants to know, how can she bring in more natural light without adding windows, and is that even possible? Can you bring in natural light without adding windows?
Probably she's asking that question because it's a room that cannot have windows, like it's an interior room, mm-hmm. or where you place the windows on an exterior wall is not allowed by the city, or there are certain hindrances structurally. What we typically could do is install skylights from the roof jetting down, and that will solve a big issue for her for natural light. And the size of the skylight can vary from 4x2 all the way to 5x5, 8x8, really. I mean, you could do sky is the limit of skylight. That's pretty much what I could see. The other thing that is doable right now is LED lighting that projects daylight, if you wish. Now they have advanced a lot in that. We've been working on many different models, actually testing them the last few weeks, and they have come a long way. Especially the higher-end LEDs, because they come in different qualities, truth be told. Mm-hmm. If you want a certain color, if you want a certain shade, so daylight, yellow light, cold, warm, that also helps tremendously in cases like this. If you don't want to go through the whole hassle of the skylight and you just want to light up the room, look at the different possibilities of the LED lighting. And I'm not just talking about the spotlights that we're buying and what have you. I'm talking about, LED strips in certain cases. So there's many different ways to light up a room. Beside that, Ken, there's not much you could do.
Okay.
Besides the skylight and the lighting, really, there's not much that I could think about.
All right, Barbara, thank you for the text. Hope that was some help for you. Another one from the text line at 514-800, Walter. It's from Alain in Brossard. And the line just jumped. Oh, yeah, sorry, right here. He wants to know, what advice could you give him about installing a generator? How to go about selecting the right one? What would you say to them? He's looking at a generator for outside, in case of these power outages.
So, I mean, the most popular generator right now that is being installed is Generac. That's the trade. That's the mark. Generac, it caters a lot to residential homes. The generator itself come in different power, right? So it depends what you want to power up in the case of an electric shortage. Now, most of the time, an electric panel backed up by a generator does not necessarily require the whole house to be lit up.
Yeah.
So what we usually do is we, choose the most important things like the refrigerator, the freezer, the kitchen appliances.
The essentials, lights, yeah.
Yeah, few lights, few plugs, the furnace, and the most important, which is often forgotten, believe it or not, is the sump pump.
Huh?
This is what we really need to power up. So you don't need much power. In most cases, 100 amp backup generator in most homes would work. And that's what you really need. Now, in case you want to really light up the whole house, so what you're looking at is the amperage that you consume on your panel have to equal the power of the generator you're going to be putting outside. So if you're consuming 200 amps or 300 amps or what have you, then you would have to have a generator with that size. That's pretty much it. The emplacement of the generator is important. The preparation of the bedding for it is important. Do not put it right on pavers because these move. And, you know, so what I recommend strongly is to have a small cement bed for it so right. It doesn't move, heave, and, you know, go crooked on you and what have you, because it's a hassle to disconnect it to try to level the ground underneath it afterwards. And, you know, it's gonna be a very costly thing to do.
Right. Walter,
the other thing, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, they all vary, but what kind of a price range are we looking at here?
Oh, I mean, you could have something installed as low as $4,000, $5,000. It's not really, you know, especially if you're going with the smaller machines. So it's not really that expensive. And I strongly was, because the other thing that's happening now is we're seeing a lot more extreme weather. And in certain cases, the power outages, it's not like an hour or two. Sometimes it's lasting overnight. So it's becoming more important. And the other thing I wanted to say about the generators, because of the duration of time that, you know, that we're having the power outage, and also the maintenance aspect. If you can have it connected to a propane tank, if you have propane or gas, that would be awesome, because you don't have to maintain it yourself. You don't have to fill up the gas yourself. You don't have to forget to buy gas in the case of a power outage, you know, all of these little things. And, you know, that propane tank can really last you for a long, long, long time. So, you know, that is where I would start my research, is how I'm going to power it up. Anything that will require you having to go and pour gas and gasoline into the tank and remember that and what have you is not really for me as practical. Because let's say you're on vacation and the power goes out and, you know, it's raining. You want to make sure that sump pump is working, the furnace is working, nothing is going to, the pipes are not going to freeze and so on and so forth. By having to constantly fill it up every day or every 24 hours, you know, it's not really the most practical of, you can't babysit your house 24/7.
All right. Walter Assey from Renovco is with us for the entire hour. Call and grab a line at 514-790-0800. We're coming back in just a minute.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
20 minutes after 9 o'clock with Walter Assey from Renovco. I'm Ken Connors. Walter, we're going to the phone, and we're going to bring in Janice from Val David. Janice, are you there?
I am. It's Janet.
Janice. That's what I said. I thought I said Janice. Janice.
J-A-N-E-T.
Oh, it's Janet.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong.
Okay.
I'm sorry. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I have a problem. I have stainless steel kitchen appliances, and we had the treatment done when we bought them. But now it's kind of wearing off. I want to know if there's anything I can do.
Mm-hmm. Walter.
What's wearing off? The treatment?
The coating that they put on it when we bought it. The treatment, I guess you would call it.
Okay. And how is it looking like right now?
Well, you can see the difference where, you know, especially on the fridge, where there's, you can see where the coating is and where it's coming off.
Okay, and so you see like a different shine, or?
Oh, yes.
Okay, and how long ago was the treatment done?
5 to 6 years.
Did they give you a guarantee on the treatment for how long it will last?
Pardon me?
Did they give you a warranty on how long this treatment should last?
No, I don't believe so. I'm not sure, but I really don't believe so.
Okay. I don't see anything besides, I mean, either you strip it down and you know, just keep it to the standard stainless that you that was originally from the manufacturer.
Or how
you
would
call,
I strip it?
I honestly have to research this. I can't give you that answer. I've never had that question before given to me. So I could do my my homework on that and get back to you maybe in the next show or in the break.
Okay.
Because I haven't really had strip stainless before, so I wouldn't be able to tell you. And it's all going to depend on what kind of treatment they used to apply for the appliance, what kind of product, I should say.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't want to give you something that wouldn't work on those. So the best thing, if you even can send us off-air your info, is to see what the products are that they've used to apply that protection, and then
okay.
we can tell you what the strippers are. But the best option would be to call them again and to see if reapplying that treatment will bring it back to the way it was looking before.
Okay.
That would be probably your best bet and will give you the cleanest result.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, Janet, we have your number down, so we're gonna pass it on to Walter, and we'll see if we can help you out further down the line.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn.
Good morning, and very happy holidays.
You too,
Walter. Actually, for you, the question is: we live in the country, and we have propane gas, apart from electric baseboards. Now, I've been shopping around, asking various places where we could get a propane gas generator. And everybody says, oh, no, we don't know. Would you know?
Actually, it's not a propane gas generator. It's a generator that could be powered by...
I have friends, they have a huge tank because they have a huge property. And which supplies also their stables and so on. So I need something like that. So just like you said before, if you're gone or so, that nothing will freeze, it will go on automatically.
Yes. So Generac,
excuse me, we have two smaller tanks. Just for the house.
Okay.
You know, because we went through that a few years ago when we ran out of propane gas, so we had an extra tank installed.
Okay, Marilyn, we're going to let Walter address your issue. Go ahead, Walter.
Yeah. So, I mean, Generac have the they have those generators that work on propane tanks. So any distributor for that product, because what happens is they assign their distributors or slash installers by area. So you're in Valdavid, you want to see, you can call Generac directly, and they will tell you who are the installers in this in the area, but they do have those generators guaranteed. I've installed them a few properties myself.
Now, Generac.
That's correct. Yeah.
You wouldn't have the phone number, would you?
I could bring it up to you. I don't have it on me right now. No. The other thing that is important as well is, and that's often overlooked, you might need to add, like, it depends how much propane you're using in your property right now. So if you are, for example, using it to heat, and you are using it for the kitchen appliances and so on and so forth, and you have fireplaces, you might need to add another tank. That's something that you have to discuss with the installer when he gets to the property, just to ensure that you have adequate supply for a while. And that will also determine how long you want it. Like, if you want it for 24 hours to work and that's it, that's fine. Then probably what you have will be sufficient. But let's say in Valdavid, sometimes you have 3-4 days in a row of no hydro, then, you know, you might want to look into getting a bigger, either a bigger tank or another tank installed.
And the generator itself, that would have to be outside?
Always.
Or could it go into something like a mudroom or so?
No, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. She wanted to be outside, no question about it.
Yeah.
That exhaust fumes, and sometimes I've seen it installed with muffler extensions, but still inside, because if people are not, that's not code. You can't do that.
Yeah.
So just
Can I call you at your offices for the telephone number?
Of course.
That would be nice. Give me your number, please.
We'll give it to you off the air, Marilyn. Yeah. All right.
Ken Cornish, I just want to tell you it's a delight to hear you every morning.
Oh, thank you.
And I hope you stay on in the mornings, especially for a long, long time. And Walter Assi, frohe Weihnachten.
All right. Marilyn, thank you very much. I got to brush up on my other languages there, Walter. I think she said something nice to you.
I don't know. Thank you.
By the way, Generac, the company you're referring to, it's if you're listening, it's Generac, Generac Generators, right?
Yes.
You just Google them and you get Generac Power Systems and portable generators.
I mean, and just on the word of caution, we're not backing or sponsoring the brand.
No.
I'm just using it. Just simply because it's a very common brand that is heavily used in Quebec.
Yeah.
And it works well with our climate. And there's a lot of distributors for it. So we just want to make that clear. It's not because, it's part of
our
sponsoring.
Absolutely.
Like
absolutely. Understood. 929, that's Walter Assi. If you want to talk to him and ask him a question about something you have going on at home or something you need repaired or renovation job, call now and grab a line for the second half of the show. It's 514-790-0800.
Andy, or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Welcome back. It's a 9:35 on a snowy Saturday morning. It's coming down, light flakes. Not where Walter Assi is. And it starts with an M and ends in an I. That's all we're going with right now.
Yeah, I'm coming back in probably end of May in this case.
Yeah, they might have a problem with that at the office, but we'll deal with that later. 9:35. Walter, we're going to go to Beaconsfield and bring in John. John, you're there. You want to talk to Walter about a heat pump issue?
Yes. Okay. Good morning, John. And I'm glad to hear your voice, Ken. I always love hearing you on the weekends.
Very nice.
Anyway,
thank you.
Hi, Walter. I did have you in my house one time, and I just pre-COVID, I wanted to get the walls insulated, and turned out I did it myself because I had the time. I was off. But now I really appreciated your knowledge and professionalism in the day you came over. So anyway, when I wanted to ask you about the heat pumps now, I have an old heat pump that's about 20 years old. It's a Rheem and a Rood. And it's I had a guy had a look at the heat pump. Now, what's your opinion of changing a heat pump to the new vertical standing ones? There's some guy came in with a Gree heat pump, and there's different ones. I would like to go for maybe a Japanese model there, but with the ones of Mitsubishi, but they're more expensive, right? So I don't know, what's your opinion on, and I have an oil furnace myself that's getting 20 years old, but working fine.
That's a great question, actually, because the vertical standing ones, now, before we talk about the functionality, I want to talk about the design. The only issue I have with some of them is they become very high. They come extremely like vertical and standing up. So let's say it's in front of a window, and it's not that conventional box heat pump that we're used to. It's really not great to look at unless it's hidden and it doesn't bother you. Also research the size of the height of it, because some of them, if you look at their models, they have these like. It looks like it's almost two heat pumps on top of each other, but it was a much thinner profile. So that's the one thing I want to caution you from is, like, see the model, look at the dimensions, let them give you the specs. And wherever you're installing it, just make sure you're not blocking your window or it doesn't really look, unpleasing in certain cases. Like, I've seen one that, it's actually higher than the fence on the side of the house, so it doesn't really look great. That's number one. Number two, the other very important thing when it comes to heat pumps, I mean, regardless of the brand, because, a lot of the brands are good, make sure that you can have that it works up to minus 30. Not all the newer heat pumps have that feature, okay? So even if it costs you more expensive, and they do cost a bit more expensive, right, that's what you really want. It will save you money every day in the winter when it gets cold. So that heat pump, in essence, is working most of the time. Maybe your furnace will kick in 1 or 2 days a year, because how often do we have below minus 30? Not very often.
Correct, yeah.
So for that reason, and just to keep that in mind, do not go for the no-name brand or the not unknown brand. I know that the fear they have, and I'm not, again, we're not really backing the brand, but I'm just giving you an example. They have an interesting guarantee on their system.
Yeah.
It's 10 years on labor and material.
Right.
So that I find, especially on the compressor, because most most manufacturers, they guarantee the compressor for 5 years. The fact that they're guaranteeing it for 10, it's impressive. And the reason I say that is because in this type of installation, that heat pump is going to be really the main machine that's heating up or cooling your house. So there's a lot more, if you want, usage to it. And, you know, the probability of it breaking down is much higher. Now your furnace is resting most of the time, and it's really your heat pump that's kicking in. So that is one brand that I could research, and it's affordable, and they're not very expensive, okay?
What's the name of it again?
Zephyr. It's Z-E-P-H-Y-R. Some weird name like that. But, yeah. I mean, it's we've seen it in a few installations. We've researched the product, and we haven't had any callbacks on it or any negative, publicity about it yet. The only reason I say this is because they do say the minus 30, they do have the minus 30 feature. They have the affordability attached to it, and the guarantee is interesting as well.
Okay, great. Yeah, well, that's great advice. Because like I said, I've had NR Sol, which is a good company, if anybody out there likes that, taking care of my heat pump, and they've been great. So anyway, that's about it.
All right. Well, John, thanks for calling into the show. Enjoy your weekend.
Good day. Yeah, thank you.
Bye now. Walter, was it Zephyr with a Z?
Yeah, Zephyr.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. All right, very good. Yeah. Can I, before we go to break, Walter, can I give you one for the text line, if you don't mind?
Of course.
It's Ken, actually a Ken on the South Shore. It says here, if I renovate my kitchen, should we avoid moving the kitchen sink? I guess they're thinking here in terms of what the cost is in moving the kitchen sink. Is that a cost they could save if they just leave it in place? Or is it not that expensive to move?
So if they're thinking about moving the kitchen sink, it's because they think the kitchen sink is in the wrong place.
Right.
Okay. When you're renovating a kitchen, in my opinion, you should not... The first thing you want to look at is functionality. So if your sink, for example, is not in front of a window and it's just in a corner and it's in a terrible place and you hate it, regardless of the cost attached to that, I would definitely correct that right away, because that's the only chance you'll ever have. I mean, you don't renovate a kitchen every 5 years or 30 years. You renovate a kitchen once every 20, 30 years, maybe, right?
Yeah.
So you have to think of it as a long-term investment. And yes, you might have to dish out a bit more money, you know, to correct the layout. You know, the first thing we look at as kitchen designers is the work triangle. Okay, so the fridge, the stove, and the sink. And as soon as we see that there's no good flow attached to it or no functionality, automatically we recommend changing the designs to make it more functional.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because again, we're thinking renovations are not thought as an expenditure. The proper renovator or the homeowner think of it as an investment. Okay, it's something that it's like a piggy bank. You sell the house one day, you do a proper kitchen renovation, you're gonna make that money back and then some. So that's what, and specifically like when you're buying a house, the first place you look at is the kitchen and the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the two most expensive places to renovate in a home. So if they think it's in the wrong place, 100% they should look into changing the position of the sink.
Okay.
100%, because I mean that will also change might change the whole look of the house. When you're looking at a corner sink, for example, that's really impractical in a lot of cases. I've never really met anybody that likes to stand in, 90-degree corner and wash the dishes. So, there's certain expectations to go with it. And, just listen to your cuisinist, your designer, and a kitchen renovation. You need to have, I repeat, you need to have a designer. Because, again, you pay a bit more unless you hire a company that have designers, and that would be the best-case scenario. But they know better. You don't, always consult a professional. Believe me, on the long run, it costs you cheaper.
There you go. All right. Good advice, as always, from Walter Rassi from Renovco. Give us a call at 514-790-0800. It's the Home Improvement Show, making way for Lisa at 10 o'clock, of course, with the car show here on CJAD 800.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey, who's from Renovco, of course, and here for the entire hour to answer questions every Saturday morning. Walter, one from the text line. It's coming from Lachute at 514-800. It says, can I place and put ceramic tiles directly on top of a wood floor?
Yeah. So the quick answer is, yes, if you prepare the surface correctly.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very risky and not a very recommended
move.
Yeah. For many reasons. I'm just going to go over them real quick. One of them would be the hardwood floors, it's not necessarily so stable in certain cases. So when you walk and, the boards move because nailed and the nails with time have rusted or corroded, so that will be a no-no when you have ceramic on top, because ceramic will crack. Okay. The other thing is most probably that hardwood floor is varnished. Okay. So that varnish will not adhere correctly to the cement glue before installing the ceramic, which means in time that glue will start coming out, and then you're going to have tiles moving under your feet.
Mm.
So in order to counter intense that, what you would need to do is to sand to take out that varnish, to sand the floor down, take out that varnish, and bring it back to the original wood, and then you put the cement glue on top. Doing that, it's probably going to take you more time than removing the actual hardwood floors and preparing your subfloor adequately.
Right.
Because the first thing we do when we remove a floor and we're installing a new floor is we re-screw the existing plywood or the original sheet of plywood. When we're doing ceramic, now for us, I know it's maybe a feature for most contractors, but for us, it's the standard to install a Dietra membrane underneath, which makes the ceramic floor a lot more solid. You don't need to double up your plywood, and it gives it that stability that you need. So that's why we kind of really don't encourage coat over coat over coat of materials. Certain times people think they're actually saving money, but they're not. In most cases, they're not, just because the ceramic might not last, or the look becomes as well a problem, because when you have an inch or three-quarter of an inch fill transition between one or the other, I mean, your toes do cost something. They're important, right? So knocking your toe every day is not cheap, right? And it's painful. So, I mean, these are little things, but you have to put them all in perspective and look at it in many different ways. If you are going to do it and you absolutely have to do it, just do it right. Do not put the cement glue on that hardwood floor. It will come off, guaranteed.
All right. Okay. There you go, Lachute. Hope that answers your question. Walter, it was a good hour. I think we gave you a bit of homework today, too, no?
You have. I'm just going to wait I need to wait, Ken, for the information about what product was applied before we talk about the stripper. Because if I don't have that, I can't give her the, I don't want to give her the wrong product and then she puts it and what have you. I did a bit of reading up on it. A friend of mine sent me a link.
Right.
There's a few ideas that might not require the purchase of a product. But before, I would love to have what materials were used then.
Very good.
And if we do have a time,
yeah.
I don't know if we do. I don't see Jimmy making from here. So, or you. Last week, I know we don't get to all the texters and the callers in one hour, and you know we apologize for that. But sometimes we get those texts that are really good for everyone. We had a text, I don't know if you remember, I don't remember if it was a caller or a text, but I think it was a text, about the cost of the material, rising interest rates, renovations. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh yeah. Walter, do you mind if we save that for next week?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But I do...
it because I think it was an important question that we kind of could not get to.
Right.
But it's really... good to share with
absolutely,
everyone.
Absolutely, absolutely. Duly noted. Walter, thank you for a terrific hour, and we'll chat next Saturday morning at 9. Deal?
My pleasure, sir. Have yourself a wonderful weekend.
All right. Lisa Christensen is standing by with the car show in just a couple of minutes.